Hey, Canada, do you want to win $1 million? Well, you can do so. Keep it tuned here on The Joe Show. Joining us tonight on The Joe Show, our guests, author Leah Goldstein, plus musical guest Hearts of Faith. So do not go anywhere. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Joe Show. Today's date is Wednesday, January the 27th. It is the last Wednesday of the month. I can't believe it already. January is gone. Hey, it is Wednesday, so you know what that means.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Hump day!
Yes, it is hump day, and welcome. You've made it halfway through the week. Hey, I did make a mention that you could possibly win $1 million if you're in Canada from The Joe Show. Keep it tuned here because at the end of the show, I'll tell you how you can enter in to win a possible chance of $1 million. Our guests, I want to thank them very much for being with us tonight. We have author, inspirational author, I should say, Leah Goldstein. Her newest book, Life Without Limits, will be with us in a short bit. And our musical guests with their newest song, Hearts of Faith, is with us. So we'll be speaking with them too. So make sure you listen to us the full hour. And we thank you that you are here with us. We have our headlines right now. So let's get to them. Someone is in sheep trouble. Police in New Zealand received an assist from a flock of sheep when the animals blocked a highway Friday morning, helping to end a 90-minute car chase. Authorities described the four suspects as agitated after their getaway was brought to a halt by approximately 150 sheep slowly crossing a road. The chase began east of Alexandria when police spotted a vehicle speeding and without proper license plates. Authorities pursued the suspects to the outside of Queenstown. Three men and one woman were arrested. The Sydney Morning Herald reports that no sheep were injured in the incident. Well, thank goodness. My, oh my.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Yeah, well, it's a new spin on a centuries-old art, bonsai trees that literally float in the air. Japanese inventors have not only created this surreal way of showing off bonsai, they're ready to bring these levitating trees to market. Naturally, they've taken their air bonsai to Kickstarter. The kit includes a magnetic energy base that sits beneath the tree and a little star made of moss or lava. Interesting. Enterprising Indiana food cart operator is in trouble after trying his best to satisfy two very different types of appetites. Because the items in question were on the Evansville 6 o'clock news, a lot of blurring was involved. But it's clear, even with pixelation, that the selection of sexual-related toys, to use the reporter's description, was quite extensive. At Quan Dixon's Pops Popcorn and Coozier Daddy's Food Cart.
Guess who?
Asked if people are buying these sex toys, Dixon casually replied, yes, they are. Sex sells. Everybody loves sex. But other than that, the food sells too, just as well. You gotta have something afterwards. Unfortunately, the unique pairing also attracted the authorities, who swooped in about an hour after the station finished interviewing Dixon and shut things down.
I've stopped!
They said his food permits are in order, so the carts, popcorn, nacho sodas, and whatnot are fine, but when itemizing what he was selling, Quan didn't list sex toys. Simple oversight, officers. Ah! Lots of people who just wanted to enjoy their burritos in peace at the Chipotle at East Main Street in Newark, Delaware, dial 911 to complain about the folks having sex on the roof Saturday night. But local police say that it was the officer who clearly observed a man and a woman perched at the very front of the fast casual store's roof about 20 minutes prior to close, who really clinched it. He told them that they had to quit it, which they did. 15 to 20 seconds later, the pair then tried to escape but were caught and charged included with conspiracy, indecent exposure, resisting arrest, lewdness, and, of course, loitering. Chances are this isn't part of a viral marketing campaign for humanely raised carnitas or sofritas. Oh my gosh. You know what? We have time before we go to a break. We do? Okay. Before we go to break, let's get to our word of the day. Play the music. All right, Dictionary Lady. What is our word of the day?
Nimiety.
Oh, crap. It's the guy. Dictionary guy, man, what is our word of the day?
Nimiety.
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 No, it's not yours today. It's miety. No, okay. Say, what is it again?
Nimiety.
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 All right. It's a noun. N-I-M-I-E-T-Y.
Nimiety.
Nimiety. It is an excess, overabundance, nimiety of mere niceties in conversation. Why would they put a hard word in the definition? In an instance of this, it's basically an excess or an overabundance. Why don't you just say that?
Nimiety.
Yeah, nimiety. We got it. I don't know. The producer, why would you write that?
Nimiety.
Anyways, okay, nimiety. We're going to take a nimiety and have a break. My tea, no, chai tea, no. Anyways, I'm just rambling on about Mr. T. Namaya T is your word of the week. We have coming up Leah Goldstein with us. She's waiting because we're going to do an interview with her about her new book and then Hearts of Faith and still how you could possibly win $1 million, Canada, on the Joe Show. So don't go anywhere.
This is Robert Davi, and you're listening to the Joe Show.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Hello, this is Tim Conway, and whenever I'm in town, I listen to the Joe Show. I'm not in town that much, but if I ever come by that way, I'm going to turn the radio on and listen to the Joe Show. So, I don't know when I'll be in your town, but listen for me. And listen for Joe, because he's so lonely.
Welcome back to the Joe Show on OM Times Radio, and our first guest, I have to say, I think has beaten almost all the odds kind of deal. She's done a lot, and I'm so glad she's written her story called A Life Without Limits. She's a world kickboxing champion, Israeli undercover police, cycling champ, and so much more. Miss Leah Goldstein, how are you, Leah? How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Now, is it Goldstein or Goldstein?
It's Goldstein.
Goldstein. Okay. So yeah. I apologize about that, but I'll make sure I get it right for the rest of the interview here.
No worries.
But so let's start, because this is a very interesting. I don't want to give away a whole lot, because, I mean, you tell a lot in your book, A Life Without Limits, which is available. People can check it out online or their bookstore or even through the States and go to Amazon and check it out online. But you basically were not your typical girly girl kind of girl. You wanted to be like Bruce Lee kind of. You were in the martial arts. You wanted to kickbox. You were into sports. And so were you like always around boys growing up? Were you the only girl in the family?
No, I actually have a sister. You know, I was very athletic, so I was always into sports, right? And the whole taekwondo, kickboxing thing actually happened because, you know, my parents were immigrants, and they're, you know, my mom was from China, my dad was from the Soviet Union, so their English wasn't very good. So my English wasn't good, and I got picked on at school. Okay. Because I had a little bit of a lisp. So, you know, I, back then in those days, you don't tell because you considered a tattletale. So I remember watching Bruce Lee on TV and I thought, oh, wow, this guy can fight 30 people. You know, I only have to fight 10. So I got to learn what this guy is doing. And that's kind of how it started with the taekwondo.
Nice. Now, and that's interesting too. Let's talk a little bit about bullying here, for example, because I mean, even in today's society, kids of all ages are getting bullied. How did you deal with it back then?
Well, I got bullied big time for two reasons. Again, because of my language barrier, you know, and also I had a little bit of a limp because my left leg was growing at a different rate than my right leg. So not only was I put in a special school, you know, or a special class in school, my mother was told by the doctors that I would never be, you know, or sports would be very difficult for me because of the discrepancy in both my left and right legs. So here I have a lisp, but I don't walk properly. You know, so wow, bang, easy target.
Right.
You know, so again, it was just being every lunch hour being chased. I call it the Jason gang. It was about six boys, and it was just boys, you know, and they would chase me every lunch hour. And it was just, you know, hell. And then as I said, my solution was Bruce Lee. And Joe, one day I was running and I said, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I remember facing that kid. His name was Jason. And I said, you want to fight a girl? I'm going to kick your ass. And that's exactly the words I said. And it just, and I'm not kidding, it all stopped from that point on. And actually we became friends after that. And I think too, it was me learning also the way I was carrying myself, right? Because at that point, you know, I was obsessed with taekwondo. I was a black belt. I was a junior national champion. And I carried myself differently, you know, and people were afraid of just my energy. Like sometimes, you know, mental energy can be more powerful than physical energy. So that was kind of my breaking point, you know, from all that bullying to stuff. I mean, I was lucky, of course, right? Because as you know, back then, it wasn't like now where there is more support system and stuff like that. Because I saw it all the time, especially in high school as well. You know, but now, of course, there's way better support programs because bullying is actually a really big issue. I mean, I saw it with myself, with my friends and stuff like that, you know, so I actually speak to kids, too, about some of the things that I had went through, you know, during more so in elementary school, not in high school, because I was a world champion kickboxer, so no one was going to mess with me.
Oh, absolutely right? Not. You know? No, not at 17 years old. Oh, we're not going to touch her. Forget it. That's all right. We're not going to bother. She's a world kickbox champion. No, it'd be pretty stupid, you know, if they did.
You bet.
So at 17, you're the world kickboxing champion.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, can you recollect that day a little bit for us? What was it like? How did you feel at 17 and beating out this 25-year-old, 26-year-old kickboxer?
Yes. Well, actually, like, you know, I was, before I transitioned into kickboxing, I was the second degree black belt in taekwondo, and I was a junior national champion. And during, you know, up to age 12, boys and girls fight together. And I beat all the boys, even, you know, from the United States and black belts when I was a red belt. And the advantage I had, Joe, is my father was a national champion in boxing in the Middle East.
Oh, okay.
So when you combine taekwondo and boxing, you get more of a kickboxer, right?
Oh,
so,
there you go.
So
all right.
Coming into, you know, and then I was discovered by my coach who You know, he basically, I had a really big head when I was, you know, a second grade. I was a junior champion. I was undefeated. So he put me in a ring with another kid, and that kid beat the crap out of me, you know. And it repositioned me, you know, to come down to earth and never, ever go into anything thinking you're all that. And that's actually a life lesson that I learned, right?
Oh, nice.
So even when you think you're at the top, when you let your guard down, right, someone's going to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Alan Chang discovered me at that point, he said to me, you know, if we're going to do this, and I was 13, he said to me, I can make you a world champion before you're 17 years old, but there's conditions. He said, no smoking, no drinking, no drugs, no friends, train 7 days a week, train twice a day. And I did exactly, and that's a lot of sacrifice for a teenager,
wow,
right? But I did exactly what he said. I was a North American champion, provincial champion. I was the Canadian champion 2 times, and I won the world championship.
That is amazing. So it was basically your eat, sleep, breathing it, and that's all you did. Now, I know we're speaking with Leah Goldstein. A Life Without Limits is the name of her latest book, came out last year, and gotta pick it up. You gotta read this is an awesome. We're just touching a little bit right now, but we did say that your parents are immigrants, but you yourself were born in Canada, in British Columbia, so you are Canadian though.
Yes, I was made in Israel. I was born here.
Yes.
So, my mom was 7 months pregnant, so I was born in Vancouver, British Columbia.
So. All right. So just so people know, too, where you're from and a little bit about that. But so then after becoming this kickboxing champion, you got enlisted into the Israeli undercover police dealing with terrorism and violence. So at 18 years old, I'm guessing, or were you still 17?
I was 17 when I won the world championship, and then that's when I retired because, you know, the Bruce Lee and all that stuff was kind of a solution to a problem. But when I was 7 years old, I knew what I wanted to be, and that was James Bond. It wasn't Bruce Lee, you know.
All right, so the James Bond.
It was in my plan, like when I would, you know, graduate and after my, you know, athletic career in kickboxing, that I would go back to the Middle East, back to Israel, and enlist in the IDF, the Israel Defense Force. And then hopefully from there, it would open up, you know, doors, opportunities to get into working with the government.
My goodness. Like, I can't believe that. Like, I mean, at 18, I mean, well, those that are young that go serve in the military too, but I guess the same stuff going on now in Israel is probably the same stuff that was going back then when you enlisted, correct?
Well, I went through the Gulf War, so there's always something going on. It's
right.
Never boring there, that's for sure, you know. But, I mean, every country has its problems, too. You know, people, I think, when you see on TV, they really explode the situation there. It actually is a very safe country because my writer who wrote the book, Lori Mulger, I took her back to the Middle East so she could interview commanders and lieutenants and officers that I worked with, show her the military bases and the police stations that I worked at. And I asked her, I said, was there any point during the month that we were, or the 2 weeks we were there, that she ever felt like she was in danger? And, you know, she says no. And prior to that, you know, with all the media and all the craziness you hear, and it's funny because people in Israel, they think it's terrifying to come here because of the missing kids and drive-by shootings and, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So you hear it on both sides. They say, is it true that kids go missing? You can't. You know, your kids can't go to the park, you know, and they're flabbergasted by those. And I go, well, you know, I wouldn't send my 5-year-old to school by yourself if it's more than a kilometer, right? You know,
right.
And in Israel, that's insane, Joe. That doesn't happen. Kids go everywhere at 9 p.m., right?
Wow.
You know, so there's, you know, you hear it on both sides, right? There's an exaggeration on both sides for sure.
Right, right.
But, you know,
but
it depends where you are in Israel. They're not going to let you go into an area or a territory where it's dangerous.
No, but that's interesting for us here in North America to hear that because, I mean, we don't hear, like, I mean, it happens on an everyday occurrence or whatever else, kind of, or not hopefully an everyday occurrence, but somewhere almost, right? And that they think that way about us. That just made an eye-opener on my side because we always hear on their side what's going on and we're, like, afraid to go over there and to hear that.
No way, they're afraid to come here even more, trust me.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. That's unreal.
Yeah.
You just blew my mind on that one there.
Yeah.
Wow. Now,
but it's true. They hear you, these shootings at school and then at the McDonald's and at the mall. They go, what the hell? You know, because there's security everywhere. Like, there's a security guard in schools there. You know, it's funny. In North America, they check you when you come out of a store. In Middle East, they check you when you come into a store or when you come into a place, right?
Right.
You know? So they're such high security that those things just don't happen. Like, you know, a shooting at the mall or, I mean, unless it's a terrorist act, right? But some kid taking a gun and, you know, whatever, all that kind of, that does, I mean, I'm sure it happens to some degree, but very rare, not like here. You
right.
know, whereas here now we hear it. We don't even flinch. Oh, another shooting. Oh, another thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a common thing now. So, you know, before we jump on other countries, let's talk about where we live right now. You know what I mean?
No, that's you know. So true. Now, we're speaking with Leah Goldstein. The book is A Life Without Limits. You made a mention, and I was going to intuit a little bit later on, but you made a mention of Lori. She wrote the book, and basically with you, you kind of gave her the stories, and she went and did the research, too, and you brought her over to
right.
Israel and that stuff. How did you meet up with Lori?
Well, it's funny because actually Lori is from Michigan. She's an American that, you know, she married an NHL player that they ended up in, when he retired, they ended up back in Vernon. It's a small town east, about 5 hours east of Vancouver, mm-hmm. in the Okanagan. And she had a gym and I had some time and I said, I'll work part-time as a trainer because I was cycling. I was making my transition from pro racing into ultra endurance racing. So I went in there and I said, you know, I'm looking for a part-time job. And you know, I gave her my resume and she says, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually started doing clinics together. We actually have a company called No Finish Line where we do seminars and wellness retreats and stuff like that. And then I read some of her stuff, Joe, and it was, I called her, excuse me, like a non-bullshit writer, right?
Yeah.
She just attacked everything in the nutrition, all the crap you hear in the fitness industry and diets and all these exercises and new machines that come down. And she says it as it is. And
nice.
I liked her progressive approach. And then I said, I found my writer. She's going to write my book.
Perfect.
You know, so.
And,
yeah.
and since then, you guys have been together, and of course, this book came out, A Life Without Limits, last year. It's available on Amazon. And now let's talk about the transition. You went for the ultra endurance, but before we do that, talk about the ultra endurance. You were kind of gearing up for the 2004 Olympics, and this is great because, I mean, I'm not what happened before the Olympics that you weren't able to do it, but I mean, this is just true testimonial of whatever's get thrown at you. You've gotten beaten down. We're gonna talk about how this got beaten down. But you found another way to go about and do it. You didn't, like, stop. You didn't stop your living. You didn't stop your dreaming. I mean, it was just a little bump in the road kind of to you. Sometimes maybe a bigger bump than a little bump. I'm just using that for phrase
right.
expression. But you got lemons and you made lemonade, basically, as they say. So you're ready to go for the 2004 Olympics. You get into a bad accident while training, I think it was, while cycling 2 months before. And that kind of ruins your chance. But then you end up doing something else. Explain that, because this is just an amazing story, I think.
Well, it's funny. I had qualified, actually, for Athens, right? You know. And this is a true story. I haven't really told many people this. And the course wasn't really suited for me. And I was going to go represent Israel, right? You know, which the criteria is actually harder when I transitioned, you know, to represent Israel over Canada. You know, the Israeli, we got one spot, so they were sending me. And because the course wasn't so suited for me, I jokingly said to my teammate, oh, I wish I'd break, you know, I'd crash and I'd break my right hand or whatever, right? So I didn't have to go.
Right.
And within 1 hour, I crashed and I broke my right hand.
Oh, my gosh. Got to careful what you wish for there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Be careful what you wish for sure, you know. So it was just actually the both Olympics. I had another crash where I cracked a vertebrae in my back. And, you know, sometimes it's just not meant to be, you know what I mean? But you carry on and you go after other goals. And really, the kind of rider I was as a cyclist was more a stage racer, you know, like longer races over a week and stuff. I wasn't necessarily a one-day rider.
Right.
You know, so... that's kind of where my biggest goals were to win some of the bigger or the hardest races in the world in cycling stage racing. So that's where I kind of refocused because I wasn't much of a sprinter. I was more of a climber,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's kind of where I veered off to, cause I did two attempts and I made it. It didn't work out. And really, I know the Olympics are great, but in my heart, I knew that the gift wasn't really there. So that's where I kind of transitioned into focus into what I really loved doing, and that was stage racing.
And that turned into, like, was that the 12-day race that you did, that you did, was the Endurance 3,000-mile race across America?
That was the mother of all races.
Across
America.
That is, I mean, first of all, I mean, what a great experience to do that in 12 days. I mean, and you're touring around America kind of deal and seeing the great sights of America. But I mean, I'm tired after riding 12 minutes on a bike, let alone 12
Actually,
days.
We did it in 11 days and 4 hours.
My gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
This is just awesome. So basically you've hit a lot of stumps along the way, but that didn't deter you. What was it that was keeping you going? I mean, I probably know the thrive and the wanting to, but what was it that was making you keep on going to keep on reaching your goals no matter what came and you experienced along the way?
I mean, I think it was when I have a passion for something, you know, nothing's going to stop me. And the thing is that a lot of times when I talk to youth and I talk about goals and setting goals, is what happens if things go south, right? Say you're almost there, you almost touch your goal, and then you're back from where you started, even behind that starting line, right?
Yeah.
You know? So I think we have to be prepared when we go into something that it's not going to be easy. There's no, and what's going to happen, and what are your plans if something does go south, right? You know? Because for me, it's not over till it's over, because I would never be able to live with myself, and I would always regret knowing that I didn't give myself or try 110%. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I find, too, that once we quit or once we throw in the white towel, it's very easy to repeat that pattern, right?
Yeah.
You know, oh, okay, whatever. I failed then. I'm going to do it again. So it's a constant. But when you go after something, and the harder it takes to go after a goal, the more it means to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It means more, and it stays with you more, and it gives you character to fight anything. And if you go through all my life, right, I had some major challenges, major, major challenges. But I never, ever let it stop me or detour my path, right? And it didn't matter. With cycling, I only planned to ride pro for 3 years. It took me 7 years, almost 8 years, to finally get to where I wanted to go to. 8 years, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I finally got there, that's when the 2005 crash happened, where I should be dead,
right?
You know? And so back to square one.
And do it and grow right back again. Now,
yeah, but you know, that's what happened. That's life, right? But
yeah.
When you have a passion for something, you just don't stop. You don't stop.
Now, I mean, you've done a lot, and you've achieved a lot of goals, and even more so. But now, I mean, you're kind of not on top, but you've done a lot. But of course, you're still making goals. What's a goal that you have right now that you're in the middle of or just starting of to try to achieve?
Well, right now, I mean, my passion is speaking to youth and getting my message out there. And right now, I have a great media team, you know, that's helping me promote my book, get the message out there, and, you know, bring it on an international level, not just on a national level. So that's what we're super busy right now. I mean, I'm still a trainer. I still work with clients, you know,
yep.
And I push them to their limits, which I truly enjoy, you know. So I have a lot going right now. And I also compete for personal, like, you know, I just, you know, compete in age group, whatever, because fitness for me is very important to be fit and healthy and, you know, in a good lifestyle. So that's keeping me busy for sure. But to get my book to be a bestseller, and hopefully in the big picture, to see it on the screen.
Awesome. Well, that and that's good. And you just keep on going at it. And I can't see it not happening, just how enduring you've been so far with what you've achieved.
You.
Now, I want to, before I do want to talk a little bit about some health stuff and some tips on how to stay healthy and get healthier, because you'd be the great person to talk about that, of course, being the trainer that you are. But I do want to make a mention and a shout out and find out a little bit more about Girls Inc., because some percentage of the sales of the book and on your speaking engagements end up going to this organization called Girls Incorporated. And what is Girls Incorporated?
Well, Girls, actually, it's a big organization in the United States that helps young women that are, you know, you know, maybe live below the poverty level. It's primarily in the United States. It's actually also a supporter, one of Oprah's supporters, and Ellen DeGeneres is also part of Girls Inc. And what my involvement was this last summer is I went to Oakland and I taught, and they had a Fight Like a Girl week. So I taught them just some self-defense. And just on talking about having a healthy lifestyle and a positive outlook on life and knowing that, you know, sometimes our past doesn't dictate our future, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so just giving them on a positive note and sharing some of my stories of hardships when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing was it was teaching them the self-defense and how to defend themselves and the healthy lifestyle and just seeing like a glow come back, right? Because for some kids that have it really tough, they don't get the privilege of, you know, playing in, you know, in their front yard because of the danger of where they live, right? Or even the whole physical activity being taken away from schools now because there's no budget for it.
Right,
you know what I mean? But we neglect how important, you know, staying fit. Because if you think about it, you know, what is your greatest asset? Your greatest asset is you.
Yep.
It's your ability to generate an income. It's your ability to do great things. It's not your will waiting for some other money or other resource. It's you. So if you're not good, nothing else in your life is, you know, going to really be good. So you have to be solid, you know, internally, both physically and mentally, to lead a successful life and also like yourself. Not only like yourself, but love yourself, right? And that's a starting point for success.
Yeah, I was going to say, Leah Goldstein with us, A Life Without Limits. I know you're on Facebook. People can find you on Facebook. And
right.
Also, what's your website? People can check you out on your website there.
It's simple. It's www.leahgoldstein.com.
LeahGoldstein.com. G-O-L-D-S-T-E-I-N. LeahGoldstein.com. We're going to take a short break, but I want you to still stay with me, Leah. Talk a little bit about some exercising tips, some staying healthy tips. Would you do that for our listeners?
Sure, for sure, yeah.
All right, so don't quit it. We're going to be back right after this with Leah Goldstein. Goldstein, oh my gosh, I can't even say it right now. I'm all flabbergasted here. Because I'm scared to talk about getting fit because, well, the people tell me to get in shape and rounds of shape. But anyways, A Life Without Limits is a book. We're going to be back right after this on The Joe Show. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, everybody. This is Fee Waybill of The Tubes, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Hey, this is Jason McCoy, and you are listening to The Joe Show. Where else? The Joe Show. Yep, that's right.
Welcome back to The Joe Show. Our guest still with us, author, motivational speaker, kickboxing champion, cycling champion, a great woman overall, Leah Goldstein is with us. Her latest book, A Life Without Limits, is available now. You got to check it out. Check out her website, Leah Goldstein, Goldstein.com, G-O-L-D-S-T-E-I-N.com. And because Leah is a trainer and knows, and I mean, she is very fit, and she is gorgeous as well. I'm looking at a picture here as we're speaking. I wish we're doing TV instead of radio, but maybe better that we're doing radio so she can't see me. But Leah, what's some tips of trying? First of all, how about trying to get healthy to start out? Like if you're just trying, I know New Year's, I know I read a post on your Facebook. It's what 25% of people only keep their New Year's resolutions from New Year's Day. And I think probably most of them are probably say get fit, but they don't know where to start right. To get fit.
Well, I think we have to be realistic with time, right? Like, I don't think you want to go into a commitment, oh, I'm going to train 7 days a week, and I'm going to make a complete turnaround on everything. So it's just baby steps, right? Like, commit to 3 times a week, right? And look at your diet and maybe eliminate 1 or 2 things. Right. You know, it's really starting small, because for many people, they hate exercise. That's what you hear.
Right.
I don't like exercising. Right. But you got to find something. It doesn't necessarily mean going to the gym. So a lot of people, too, they don't like going there, or they feel intimidated because you have some of those big bodybuilders that are always looking at themselves in the mirror or whatever. Yeah. Right. But I think the right trainer, like for me personally, is I'll take someone. I'll say, what do you like doing? Right. Is it walking? Is it cycling? Is it running? Is it baseball? Is it basketball? Like, you have to find things that you actually like to do, because if you find that going to the gym is working, or having a certain strength program that it's work, and so what you're going to do is you're going to start finding excuses, right? For mm-hmm. sure. And number 2 is doing it first thing in the morning, is just getting it over with. Right.
Okay.
You know, because then you don't have the day to come up with excuses. Well, you know, I'm mentally tired, or I have to go, whatever, you know, pick up the kids. Is get up early, get it over and done with. And it's basically, you'll feel better. You know what I mean? When you, it's a wake up. Oh, so it's almost like having a, you know, an extra cup of coffee, right? You'll feel better. Your metabolism will be fired up a little bit, you know, and I can guarantee once you start, you're going to start feeling the effects of it within the first week, for sure.
10, 15 minutes
in the morning. Take a challenge. Do a New Year's resolution just for 3 weeks and see how it feels, right?
Yeah. You know?
But don't go bananas, because if you do, like that whole going in crazy, you know, as fast as you go in, you're going to come out of it just as fast.
Now, 10, 15 minutes in the morning, like half hour, what's a good time duration?
I would, well, depending on, you know, where your fitness level is at. I mean, if you're just starting, let's do 20 minutes. Right.
Yep.
Start with 20 minutes for the first week, and then add, you know, 5 minutes per week till you can do something continuous between 45 to an hour.
Perfect.
45 minutes to an hour. Right. You know, and maybe, you know what? And maybe go to a gym and tell the trainer that you want something creative. Right. So a trainer will bring a program to you, maybe a circuit or something like that. That's really fast, something interesting, and will constantly change it, too. Right. You know, that will change your program, because when your body does the same thing all the time, you get into adaptation where there isn't much result. Right. You know,
yeah.
And try different sports throughout the season, like in the winter, you know, maybe try some skiing, some snowshoeing. Right. In the summer, hey, let's try some cycling, some mountain biking, you know, some hiking, stuff like that. So do it seasonal, and don't just do one thing all the time. It's just being creative with your program, and you'll find trying new things, too. Right. Try new sports. Always try something once. That's what I say. You know, maybe dancing is your thing, right? You know, maybe indoor soccer is your thing. And there's always leagues for all ages, right? There's a hockey team here of women in their 60s. Soccer, you know, basketball, whatever. Get involved with people that like what you like, you know, and training partner. Find somebody too, so then you're committed to it. So it's harder to cancel when you actually have to meet somebody,
yeah.
Right, for a training run or something.
No, that
but, you know,
and that's yeah. good, because even too, when you said something new as well, and new sports, and I don't know if you've ever heard of the sport called pickleball.
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have? All right.
I have.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay, well, I've never heard of pickleball before until like last spring. So I think it was like May or something like that. It's at a local gym here at the YMCA here. And
right.
Yeah, and the group of people is just amazing. I started out 5 days a week because we were gung ho, and now it's down to a couple days a week because then life gets busy and work gets in the way and that stuff, and it's during the day. But what a lot of fun and great people! And then when you're not there, they're like, "Where were you? Why weren't you here?"
Yeah, exactly.
And that stuff. And it's nice because then we developed a friendship off the court. And then we've had gatherings together where I've hosted them here at my place for a Christmas gathering, and someone did a New Year's Eve gathering and that. But but absolutely, if you're with a group of people instead of doing it yourself, they're not on you, but they're asking, "Hey, where were you? We missed you." And like, great moral support and that. So
exactly. No. Yeah. You just surround yourself with people who are fit and like the same things you do. You know, and they will be bugging you, you know, like you said. So it's going to push you to come a little bit more. But again, you don't have to go every day. 3 times a week is great.
Yep.
You know, and then maybe once in a while, you know, have a gathering, you know, do something like a hike or, you know, a mountain bike ride or something like that, you know. But it's the community and the people that you're around with, they're active. So it's most likely that it'll keep your lifestyle, you know, moving, right? So that's super important. But I know that the pickleball, it's huge here.
Yeah.
They use the tennis courts, right? It's huge. It's growing. And it's, it used to be, I saw a lot of seniors doing it, but now you got like little kids doing it as well.
Yeah, it's, and families and that stuff.
Starting to grow.
Yeah. Yes. It's getting big here. And I enjoy it. For people who don't know what pickleball is, I kind of explain it as oversized ping pong in a badminton style court played in doubles. Basically.
Yep, and it's fun. And it's not difficult. It's easier than tennis.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is a lot of fun, and it is easier than tennis. But Leah Goldstein is our guest, and we can talk forever about her life, what she's gone through, and about being fit and exercise. But you have to go now to her website, leahgoldstein.com, LEAHGOLDSTEIN.com. Go buy her book, A Life Without Limits. And Leah, I want to thank you very much for spending some time and talking about some of the wonderful and crazy, I think is crazy, but it's great, adventurous crazy, though, good crazy experiences that you've had in your life, and to have Lori to write the book and you share your stories too. It's just truly amazing, and I think everyone should go buy her book. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this here on The Joe Show on Ohm Times Radio.
Hi, this is Brian Hyland, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
It was an itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, yellow polka dot bikini.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Ohm Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Ohm Times endeavor. Host your show with Ohm Times Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Joe Show on Ohm Times Radio, and joining me, yes, I'm having a lot of them from the Artists Music Guild, because the Heritage Awards are taking place February 20th at 3 p.m. on the Dish Network, the 5th Annual Heritage Awards, I should say, on Channel 266, and I met these lovely ladies a couple years ago at the Artists Music Guild Heritage Awards Convention, and then the award show, and they are so talented. I gotta get them on, and they actually won an award a couple years ago too when I was there, and they were surprised with it, and they're with us now, Donna and Brenda. They are Hearts of Faith. Welcome, ladies. How are you?
We're doing great. Appreciate being on the air, Joe.
Yeah, we do. We appreciate you having us here, and hope you guys are staying warm up there. It's not quite as cold here in Ohio as it is in Canada.
No, we're trying. Well, for our listeners, let's get a name decided to the voice so they know who is who. So, Donna, hello.
Hello, it's me. How are you guys doing up there? Appreciate so much the opportunity to come to all your listeners.
Awesome. And
I'm
Brenda.
And I'm Sister Brenda and her younger sister, I might add. I have to add that in there. Great to talk to all of you guys, and hope you guys are all having a great day.
Awesome. All right. So, yes, Donna and Brenda from Hearts Are Faith with us. And they are country gospel singers. And they started out, which I found interesting, because it's very rare that a duet of sisters is doing country gospel music, because it's not really heard of. But you guys started out with the family, your family sang all together. You're kind of like the Partridge Family kind of deal, but you guys started out, your mom and dad and the two of you, correct?
That is correct. And it is kind of rare to see a female duet. Usually if you see any kind of duet, it's male and female. So we're bridging new waters, and it's kind of fun though to do something that's different and not just, you know, everybody else is doing it. So we make it kind of sound different.
Now, Brenda, I'll ask you, how long have you ladies been together just yourselves as Hearts of Faith?
Just as a duet has been almost 15 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but because we don't feel like that many years have passed by, but God's really been good to us and just opened so many doors in the last 15 years that it would take the rest of the show and then some to to tell all the great things God's done for us in those years.
Check out their website, heartsoffaith.biz, biz, heartsoffaith.biz. You can check out Donna and Brenda, who are with us. The heartsoffaith.biz is their website, and we're going to be hearing a new song that will happen in just a little bit, but in March, you can check out, if you're in the Ohio, area, you can check out Hearts of Faith. Just go to their website, heartsoffaith.biz. In April, they are across Georgia and South Carolina at different venues. Just go to their website, heartsoffaith.biz. Now, you ladies have a new single that has been released on the radio, and I like this because it is, not only does it sound great, because I already took a listen to it before I talked to you ladies, but it's also written by a Canadian.
Yes, it is. Yes, this song is just so fabulous. Avon Grace is a friend of ours. She's from Saskatchewan, and we met her through the Country Gospel Music Association several years ago, and each October we hold our international convention in Branson, Missouri. And back in 2002 at the international convention, we heard her sing this song. She's a fantastic singer and songwriter and just such a sweet, sweet spirit. And so we looked at each other and we were like, oh my gosh, we have got to get that song, because one aspect of our ministry that we're also involved in is we are an artist representative for Compassion International. And of course, Compassion is a Christian child sponsorship organization that pairs people with children in third world countries for their education and nutrition and needs that, you know, can't be met because so much of their world around them is in poverty. And when we heard Avon sing this song, she actually wrote this song after a friend of hers had come back home and was visiting her and was telling her about a trip that she had just been on to India. And she saw so much poverty and devastation, and it just really stuck with her. And so then after that friend left, the story made such an impact on Avon that she sat down and penned this song, and then we were able to record it. We also did a concept video that folks can find on YouTube with this song. And so, you know, we pray that it's a blessing not only for the beautiful song and the lyrics, but that it'll make us all realize just really how blessed we all truly are, and that we need to know that it's only through God's love that we really can see changes made in people's lives.
Some advice you would give to someone starting out, whether it's in gospel music or even in a singing career? I'll ask you first, Donna.
Okay, the number one, be yourself. People do not want to hear you do a song and try to sound like someone else. You know, every one of us has a gift that we've been given. And, you know, if you watch American Idol, you will hear so many times the judges tell these artists, we want you to make it your own. You know, they don't want you to sound like Carrie Underwood if you're doing a Carrie Underwood song. We've got Carrie for that. We don't need another one. And so really that, I think, is just be yourself, understand what it is that you can do, and do that to the best of your ability while you're trying to stretch yourself. But, you know, if you're, you know, not a soprano, don't sing in the keys for sopranos, because it's not going to work. You're going to look ridiculous trying to do it, and it's not going to help further you. You know, I'm definitely not a soprano. I've got the low voice.
Yeah.
And we do Jesus Take the Wheel, and because of the vast vocal range on that song, I mean, Carrie Underwood makes it sound like it's just no problem. Let me tell you what, that's one of the most difficult songs to sing. And I do the verses and leading them, and Brenda leads the chorus, because I can't reach those notes and she can't reach the low notes on the verses. So you have to work with what it is you've got and try and hone that craft, but just realize who you are and be who you are.
Awesome. How about you, Brenda? Any advice?
One of the greatest things that we ever did was to get vocal training, because even if you have a natural ability, it doesn't matter how long you've been singing, you never stop learning. In fact, I just joined our praise and worship team at church, and we have a fabulous worship pastor, and he has been teaching us a lot of things. And some of the things that he's been working with us on, I was like, oh, I forgot about that. Ooh, I forgot about that technique. And it's brought it back to my mind. It makes it easier to sing. It's better on your voice. You need to take care of your voice. So definitely vocal lessons, music lessons, if they want to be a musician. Learn everything that you can. You're never going to know everything. We've been doing this 34 years, and we're still learning. So if that's something they're serious about, take every advantage of any opportunity that they have to attend seminars, training, voice lessons, learn as much as possible to improve upon the gifts that they have and the talents that they have to make it as good as it can be, because God gave his best for us. So we need to give our best for him.
Very well said, ladies. And again, you got to check out heartsoffaith.biz is the website. And Donna and Brenda, please, it could be both of you, it could be both different times, or one of you, just please introduce the new song that's hitting airwaves that we're going to be able to play here now on the Joe Show. So take it away, ladies.
Okay. Well, this song is called Love Like That, written by our Canadian friend, Aiden Grace. And what I love about this song is that it is a reminder that no matter what life may throw at us, there is always a positive. We can always look at things through a light that will shine the good parts of what we're facing. You know, 1 year ago today, our dad left this world and took his final breath here. And we know that although we miss him terribly, we know he is celebrating life in heaven. We know he's not suffering. And there's always a silver lining that you can find in any situation. And so sometimes what we need to do, rather than looking at all our problems, is to look at all our blessings. And I think this song reminds us of that. And truly, it's only through the love of Jesus that he gives each one of us that we can do that.
Amen.
She visited Calcutta not so long ago. Somehow she was different when she came back home. One day she told her story. I listened carefully. She said, I saw God do something that still amazes me. She said, we went down to the market. It was such a crazy place. Colors bright and pungent spice, a noisy, crowded space. Cows and flies and garbage, an open sewer there. One water tap at the back that 20 families share. We walked past open doorways where homeless children lay. Barred windows where the young girls know they'll never see the light of day. Then thunder came and monsoon rain was washing down the street, and all that stench and grime and garbage flowed around my knees. A tiny beggar swept away, was fighting for his life, and I just stood there helpless as the drowning child swept by. Then a man beside me scooped him up, hugged him to his chest. My heart stopped as I recognized he was standing with us in that mess. Only Jesus could love like that, to walk right through the worst of life and bring that beggar back, to reach through that despair. That was when it hit me. I am just the same, caught up in the messes of my sin and shame. I cannot find my footing. I am swept away. There is just one reason why I am here today. Beaten, bruised, and bleeding, he died to take my place. And though I have done nothing good, he offers me his grace. Reaching through my darkness, his nail-scarred hands I see. What he did for that poor child is what he did for me. Only Jesus could love like that, to walk right through the gates of hell and bring this beggar back, to reach through my despair and find a treasure there.
Does it for us here on the Joe Show. Again, special thanks to Leah Goldstein and Hearts of Faith. Thanks for listening, and go to the Joe Show page to have a chance to win $1 million. Facebook.com